All right, Psalm 104. We left off at verse 7, so we'll just read that again. I wished I could have finished it last week, this section, but I didn't. But it really has to do with how God uses water in His grand scheme of things. Psalm 104, I call it the creation psalm because it really shows how God governs all of creation and provides for everything within creation. His hand is every little thing you see. Every blade of grass, every ant, every bug, every bird, every tree, every leaf, every creek, every river, every mountain, every canyon, every bit of it is under the divine control of Almighty God. Every animal, every person, every kingdom, every president, every dictator, they are all under the sovereign control of Almighty God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. We would do well to remember that each and every day. I think we'd have a much greater reverence for God if we understood how great He must be to be able to oversee such a vast universe. Think about what you, your little dominion, where you live, what you're responsible for, and how it often overwhelms you with all the things that you have to take care of, that you have to do, assignments, work, schoolwork. And it often overwhelms you. Why? Because we're sinners. We're broken. Not so with God. He is perfect. He never breaks a sweat. He never gets weary. He never has to take a nap. God is in control. Now let's get this, starting with verse 7. I want to make sure we get through the section here. This is the placement and the regulation of waters. As I thought about this today, I was meditating, and I thought, boy, he really puts a lot of emphasis in this chapter on water. Where it goes, how it's used. And I started thinking, well, most of the earth is covered with water. Think about that. There's a lot of water. And it has a lot of reasons why it is where it is. But verse 7, at thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, verse 8. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. When God gives the waters of the earth marching orders, they go up the mountains. You know how they do it? Through clouds. It's one way. And then they go down the valleys. It's God, not man, that regulates the form and the flow of one of the most important elements of the universe. He's the one. Have you ever been on a mountain and you come to a place, it seems like it's really remote, and you'll see a rivulet of water just springing out of the mountain? You know why that's there? Because there's something there that needs that water. God has placed it there for a specific purpose. Even though we are so far removed from it, God knows the need of that place. He makes the waters to go where He wills. Verse 9, this is a miracle to me. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. What's he talking about? The flood. You ever been to the ocean? Have you ever just marveled at the vastness of the ocean and see those waves crashing in and wonder, how is it that they don't come all the way in and just tear everything up? You ever think about that? It seems like they're just a little ribbon of sand that separates you and civilization from the vast power of the ocean. Why don't... Because God sets their bounds. And He has promised that He would never again allow the water to go unregulated like He did in the flood. He promised. As long, every time you see a rainbow, it doesn't have nothing to do with a gay agenda, I can tell you that. It has to do with God Almighty and His promise never to flood the world, the earth again with a worldwide flood. And He set the bounds. And it will never happen again. And that's one reason why I believe that it was a literal worldwide flood. Because there have been plenty of, local floods through the years. That would be a broken promise every time there was a local flood, if that was a local flood. It was not. Yes, it did. You know, the people on Facebook, they don't know that I'm amening your sermon commentary. Brother Malo just sometimes he'll throw something in, and I got to amen it. All right? Verse 9. God sets bounds for the waters. There was a time when the waters went out of their bounds, and it was according to God's divine purpose. And when God's purpose of judgment was finished, He caused those waters to dissipate and go back to their place. Isn't that miraculous? That God can exercise that kind of power over something that we at different men try to restrain water. And oftentimes they can't. And it can cause a lot of damage. But God Almighty, He can direct it to go exactly where He wants it. Here's what Spurgeon said on this verse. Jehovah's word bounds the ocean using only a narrow belt of sand to confine it to its own limits. That apparently feeble restraint answers every purpose, for the sea is obedient as a little child to the bidding of its maker. It's nothing too hard for the Lord. According to God's promise, those waters that once covered the earth, it'll never happen again. Now verse 10. He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. God controls the waters in the earth that run underground as well. He's been pleased to place natural springs in the valleys to nourish crops, to produce refreshment for men and for beasts. It's God is the one who has watered your crops. God is the one that's provided water for you to drink. We ought to be more thankful for this resource that God has given. And how thankful I am for the refreshing springs of God's Word. As I'm traveling through the valleys of life, God uses His Word, the water, the washing of the water of His Word to refresh, to strengthen, to empower, to encourage. Isn't it a blessing? When you come to the house of God and you hear the Word of God and you're encouraged by the promises of God, it's like God sending the water of His Word to refresh thirsty souls. He knows the valleys that you sometimes are in. He knows exactly what you need. And right when you need it. I'm grateful to God that He's many, many times refreshed and replenished my spirit in difficult circumstances. That His Word has been a source of refreshment. Verse 11, they give drink to every beast of the field, the wild asses quench their thirst. The springs that God regulates are a source of sustenance to the wild beast. All of the animals in God's creation are under His watchful eye. If an animal becomes extinct, it's according to God's divine purpose. You say, well, how can we keep that from happening? You can't. If God determines that an animal species is going to go extinct, it will happen. It's already, think about the dinosaur. I believe there were dinosaurs. I believe Leviathan was a dinosaur described in the Bible. Beasts that men cannot teach or tame know where their master has placed water for their refreshment. And verse 12, by them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. Think about that. Every tree that a bird lands in and stays in and nests in is only there because God has been pleased to water a seed to preserve the life year after year after year of that tree so that the birds can find a resting place there. And God, in His amazing grace, puts a song in our heart where those birds begin to chirp and to praise the Almighty for the way that He's preserved their life, their habitation. Verse 12, those waters, the waters nourish the earth so that the trees can spring forth and grow and a place where birds can find lodging. God puts songs in the hearts of the birds of creation. I remember Brother Cockrell talking to me one time. He said, you know, I love going out. When he lived in Mississippi, he said, I love going out in the morning and going in. He had a little wooded space right behind his house, and I loved to go out there and just sit still and listen to the birds as they awake and as they begin to sing the praises of our great Creator early in the morning. What a sweet serenade those birds provide. If only we would slow down and be quiet enough to listen. God has also placed a song in the heart of His people as well. Now let's do one more verse, verse 13. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. God in heaven is in sovereign control of the rain on the earth. And in this verse, we find Him watering the hills and the earth being nourished and satisfied. God also sends showers of blessings upon His saints. We're nourished, we're satisfied by the rain of grace and mercy that He pours out upon our unworthy soul. And He satisfies us with every single thing we need. Our God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's never underestimate God's administration of water in His creation. You probably used it today to brush your teeth, to slake your thirst, to wash your body, to cook with, to clean with. And we do all those things, but how often do we fail to remember God is the one that's provided all of it. And we benefit from it every day. We'll end there tonight. We'll start with verse 14 next Wednesday. Alan, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, please.